This morning, God's Word comes to us from Luke chapter 2. And the children know that Luke 2 gives us the story of Jesus' birth. That's in verses 1 through 20. We're going to start our reading at verse 21 and then read through verse 40 of this chapter. Luke 2, beginning at verse 21. What we hear now is God's Word. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years, and when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, children, yesterday we gathered together in this same place for a worship service about Christmas. And we read the story of Luke 2 and we sang all the Christmas songs. We sang about angels and we heard about shepherds and we talked about Mary and about Joseph and we talked about the baby Jesus, what he had come to do, that he was Emmanuel, God with us. We've talked about a lot of people who are connected with the story of Christmas. And if I asked you kids, you know, we've talked about Mary, Joseph, Jesus, angels, shepherds, who haven't we talked about yet? Well, you might think for a little bit and you'd say, well, Reverend Niemeyer, we really haven't talked about the wise men yet. Well, you're right. We haven't talked about the wise men yet. But there's a reason for that. And that's because the wise men didn't come and see Jesus for about 2 years after he was born. So Jesus was quite old by the time the wise men came. No, there was someone closer to the Christmas story that we don't often think about in connection with Christmas. And that's what we read about this morning in Luke chapter 2. The story of Jesus' birth, the story of the angels and the shepherds. But Luke 2 goes on. And it tells us a story of this man named Simeon. And he was much closer to Jesus' birth than the wise men were. But we often don't think about Simeon in relation to Christmas. But that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about a meeting and a man and a message. Those all start with M, kids. So when Mom and Dad ask you, what was the sermon about? You say it was about a meeting and a man and a message. And even beyond that, you can say it was about a mosaic meeting and a mysterious man and a marvelous message. I must have had too much time on my hands this past week to come up with an outline like that. A meeting and a man and a message. You know, we read the story of Luke 2, and it goes on, Luke 2:21, at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angels. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And I kind of all read verse 21 and 22 together for a long time, I think, till I realized these are really two different stories. The story in verse 21 takes place 8 days after Jesus was born, the time for his circumcision, when he was given the name Jesus. But verse 22 takes place a month later. I kind of collapse these two stories together, I think. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem. There were regulations for the purification of women after childbirth, according to the law of Moses. Those regulations are given to us back in the book of Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 12, we read about what was required for someone who had a child. And in Leviticus 12, we read, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the people of Israel, saying to them, if a woman conceives and bears a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. As at the end of her menstruation, she shall be unclean. And on the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised.'" That's verse 21. "Then she shall continue for 33 days in the blood of her purifying. She shall not touch anything holy, nor come into the sanctuary, until the days of her purifying are complete." So there was this 33-day period, this month that goes on, before the women could come to the temple and be purified once again. And so we read it a little bit later in Leviticus 12. "This is the law for her who bears a child, either male or female. And if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. And the priest shall make atonement for her and she shall be clean." Well, that's exactly what's going on here in Luke chapter 2. They come to offer a sacrifice, verse 24, according to the law of the Lord, a pair of 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. So they come to fulfill the law of Moses. They come after this 40-day period now, 8 days for the circumcision, 33 days, about 40 days or so, and they come to Jerusalem for Mary's purification. And we read, "and to present him to the Lord." There was a second Mosaic ceremony going on here, and it's alluded to in the text. "As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." It was a prescription in the law of Moses in Exodus 13 that the first male child belonged to God. And so he was to be presented to the Lord. Now there was also a Mosaic legislation for him to be redeemed, to be kept by the family. They would pay a price, a redemption price, and that child would remain then with the family. This whole story revolves around what was required by the law of Moses. First, Mary's purification, then the presentation of Jesus according to the law. And Jesus was redeemed. He was bought back so he could stay with his parents. Read that they go home together later. They were very careful to keep the law. Very careful to honor the Mosaic legislation. And I find that so striking that Jesus, the firstborn of Mary, had to keep the law of God. And he himself, as the firstborn male, had to be redeemed. Think about that. The Redeemer of the world, the one who would pay for the sins of all of his people, himself had to be redeemed according to the law. This text reminds us that while it is true Jesus was Son of God, truly divine, eternal with God forever, he was also truly human and subject to the law of Moses. You know, I can imagine Mary and Joseph saying, look, our son is the Redeemer of the world. Why should we bother keeping the law with regard to him? But no, they came and meticulously kept the law, because Jesus was truly human. We've been talking in my catechism class about the requirements for the mediator between God and man. And we saw that he had to be truly divine, but he also had to be truly human and righteous. And that's exactly the picture that's being painted here of Jesus Christ, who is truly human and truly righteous, submitted himself to the law of Moses, submitted himself to the law of God. And the reason he did that is so that he would be perfectly qualified to pay for our sins. Yes, he was truly human because God would punish no other creature for the sins of mankind. But Jesus was perfectly righteous. He perfectly kept the law. So he didn't have to pay for any of his own sin. When his life was offered up on the cross, he was paying for the sins of others. He himself was perfect. He himself had kept the law of Moses. Already when Jesus is just a month old, we see his perfect qualifications as the mediator between God and man, the one who was truly human, the one who was also truly righteous, that he might redeem a fallen mankind. As they are in the temple, they meet this man, verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. We don't know much about Simeon. In fact, everything we know about Simeon, we read right here in this story. We don't know how old Simeon was. Now, I can remember seeing the painting by Rembrandt of Simeon and Jesus, and Simeon is pictured as this very, very old man. He's got a big gray beard, looks like he's 102 years old or so. But the text doesn't say he was old. Oh, there was Anna, the prophetess. She was at least 84 years old. I think maybe sometimes we collapse these stories together. But we're not told how old Simeon was. Might have been an old man, might have been a young man. We don't know. I think I often assumed that Simeon was some kind of priest who lived in the temple, but the text doesn't say that. Again, it talks about Anna, this prophetess who spent all her time living in the temple. But we read particularly that Simeon came to the temple. He didn't live there. Doesn't say he was a priest. Doesn't say he was a prophet. For all we know, he was a regular layman, and yet one who had a particular character about him. There was a man in Jerusalem. His name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout. He was a man of particular character, recognized as a righteous man. The idea of righteousness here in terms of his relation with other people. He was a devout man, which speaks of his relationship to God. He was one who sought himself to keep the law of Moses also, to do what was right in the eyes of others, and to honor God. He was righteous, he was devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was expectant. He was looking forward to the redemption God would send. Israel had all the prophecies. We've talked about some of those prophecies. Had all the pictures of this coming Emmanuel, this coming God with us. And Simeon was looking for that. He was waiting for that. When will God send this chosen one? We read that the Holy Spirit was upon him. This man, this unknown man, this regular man, was looking for Jesus because God's Spirit was upon him. And he'd had a revelation. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he had this huge expectation that at some point in his life, whether earlier or whether later, he would see what Israel had been waiting for. And then one day he is moved by the Spirit to come into the temple. And he sees the parents and he sees Jesus. And he realizes this is the one he has been waiting for. And he took him in his arms and he blessed God. My eyes have now seen your salvation. That which he had hoped for, that which he had looked for, he now knew in reality. I find it so interesting that the one on whom God's Spirit dwelt, that one who was seeking the Lord, saw the Lord. The one in whom God had placed his Spirit first was able to see the consolation, the salvation of Israel. As a reminder to us as well, that it is those in whom the Holy Spirit is at work that God allows us to see the glories of salvation. We don't recognize Jesus of our own accord because we're so smart or so holy or so devout or righteous, but God has to be at work first. The Holy Spirit dwelt with this man, and as a result of that, he was able to recognize and to see Jesus, the child. This mysterious man, this man we know little about, righteous, devout, waiting for the consolation, finally sees Jesus as he's brought in the custom by the law, took him in his arms, blessed God, and gave a marvelous message. A message about himself, a message about the world, and a message about Jesus. He says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Simeon had been waiting. He had been looking. He had been watching. He had been told, before he dies, you will see the consolation of Israel. And now, here he is before him. And Simeon says, now you can let me depart in peace because I have everything I want and need right here. All Simeon wanted for Christmas was to see Jesus. That's all he wanted. You know, kids, yesterday we opened presents in our home, and there was a few things that I wanted for Christmas. And one of them was a new white shirt, and I got a new white shirt from my wife so I can keep preaching in a white shirt. Maybe you kids had some particular things you wanted for Christmas. All Simeon wanted was to see Jesus. And for him, that was enough. He says, I don't need anything else. In fact, now, Lord, you can let your servant depart in peace. I'm ready to die now because I have seen and received the most glorious gift anyone could ever enjoy. I have seen the one you have promised. I have seen the consolation of Israel. I have seen Jesus Christ himself. My eyes have seen your salvation. would we be content if that was all that we had? Oh, God has chosen to bless us as a church in many ways. He's chosen to bless us as individuals and as families in many ways. Would we be content if all we had was the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior? My eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared. It is so easy for us to get caught up in material things. We want this and we want that and this newest thing and that latest thing. But what's most important? Do we seek after knowing Christ more? Is that our desire? As the Spirit of God works in us, that we have a more and greater appreciation of Jesus Christ, of what He has done, of the salvation He has accomplished. That was enough for Simeon. Would that be enough for us? Or are we distracted by the things of the world? Are we distracted by other interests, other parts of our life? Or is our focus, our devotion on knowing Jesus and knowing Him more fully in our lives? Simeon gives this marvelous message about himself. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. My eyes have seen your salvation. A message about what God had done for him. That was sufficient. A message about the world. My eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. That's what they were expecting. A light for the glory of Israel. Israel had been looking forward, had been waiting, had been watching. God promised He would send this Redeemer, He would send this Anointed One as a glory for His people. Simeon says that. Yes, He is a glory for the people Israel. But look what he says first. A light for revelation to the Gentiles. His father and mother marvel at what is being revealed. They don't marvel about Him being a glory to Israel. That was expected. What was unexpected was that this one would also be a light for revelation to the Gentiles. That God would include in this glorious plan of salvation not only the devout of Israel, but the nations, the Gentiles, the peoples, us. We are included. Were it not for the fact that He was revelation to the Gentiles, all of us would be lost. We don't have that Hebrew heritage we could hold on to. No, Jesus came as a light to the Gentiles, to you, to me, to those who were outside of God's covenant people, to show the glories of God's grace. We have no claim on salvation. We have nothing that God owes us. It is simply His mercy and His great grace which would include us, the goyim, the nations, the Gentiles, included with the people of God. Oh, that is reason for celebration this Christmas time. That Jesus Christ came as that baby who was born, but not only for the people of Israel, but as a revelation, as a light to the Gentiles as well. That's why we're here. That's why we celebrate. Because God, in His gracious mercy, has included us in the covenant family, in spite of the fact we were not Hebrew in origin. A glorious message about the world, and finally, a message about Jesus Himself. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also." This child appointed for the falling and the rising of many in Israel. Jesus came and he would be the source of a dividing line. Some would fall and some would rise. He would be what was at issue for those who recognized him, for those in whom the Spirit was working and they saw he is the consolation, they would be risen to salvation with him. But for those who would reject, for those who would not listen, they would fall away forever. Jesus is the great dividing line in history. What do you say about him? And it is the very same today. Jesus is the great dividing line. The difference between life eternal, rising to be with him forever, or an eternal death, falling away from God's presence. What do you say about Jesus? He is the great dividing line. Oh, we like to make all kinds of other dividing lines. Different divisions in society, whether you're a Republican, whether you're a Democrat, whether you're an independent, whether you're upper middle class, whether you're lower middle class, all kinds of dividing lines. We make dividing lines in the church. Whether you're United Reformed, Netherlands Reformed, Protestant Reformed, Presbyterian Reformed, all kinds of Reformed. The great dividing line in all of history has been, who do you say Jesus Christ is? For all who confess him as their Lord, as their Savior, as their light of revelation to the Gentiles, you can be sure of the eternal rising with him, spending eternity praising and glorifying him for what he has done, for that great gift of salvation. But if there are those who still consistently and persistently reject him, there is nothing but the falling away eternally. This morning we are faced with the question, what do you do with Jesus Christ? God, by the power of his Spirit, is at work here among us. And if there are those here who have not yet confessed him as Lord and Savior, who have not recognized him as that center point of all of history, then the call goes out today. Hear the word of the Lord, Jesus Christ. Repent and believe in what he has done and be content. That's enough. That's all I need. Simeon simply wanted to see the Lord, and that was sufficient for him. I can die now, he says. What do we do with Jesus Christ? He is appointed for the falling, for the rising of many. God gives us this story. A story about a meeting that takes place, a man involved, and a marvelous message. But the story is, of course, ultimately the confrontation, the recognition of Jesus Christ. Do you recognize him this Lord's day? And are you able to say, and now, O Lord, you may let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. May God give us that devout prayer as his Spirit works in us today. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we thank you for the revelation you've given to us in your word of your Son, Jesus Christ. That he was announced by angels, he was announced to shepherds, and he was recognized by those in whom your Spirit was at work. O Lord God, work in our hearts today, that we might truly recognize Jesus Christ, a light of revelation to the Gentiles. And recognizing him, that we might be satisfied, that he fulfills our deepest desires and needs, and that we might go forth from here joyfully praising him for all that he has done. O Lord God, thank you. Thank you for this portion of your word. May we, by the power of your Spirit, take it to our hearts and apply it to our lives. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.